This sermon was born, I guess you could say, about 30 years ago. I'd had a surgery, so I was moving slowly. It was a very misty day, so the butterfly couldn't move at all. And so I was able to just really study that butterfly. And as I looked at the butterfly, I started thinking about its origins, that it had begun its life as a caterpillar, that it had gone through what we call a metamorphosis, and that now this beautiful creature with beautiful wings and very beautiful setup that the Lord gave to it, considering it starts out as this little grub, I fell to thinking about Romans chapter 12, where we have a metamorphosis. And so the lesson this morning, which has developed through the years, is based on the ability that God has to take something that's in one form and through an amazing process, at least amazing to us, and I guess we couldn't really believe it if we didn't see it all the time, but we see this amazing process where this caterpillar goes into a cocoon, and a few months later, it comes out so different. And you think, how in the world could that green, ugly grub have come into this beautiful creature that can now fly and now spends its time among the flowers and is just a beautiful creature? But that's what God's done for us. Before we become a Christian, we are far worse than that caterpillar. As far as God is concerned, we are black, we are dead with sin, we are ungodly, corrupt, evil. But through a process that God has created and put into the scriptures, we can do exactly what that butterfly. And the more work we put in, the more beautiful we can become before this life is over. So when we think about this, we look at the picture here, and basically you can see exactly what I'm talking about. You start as that ugly worm we call a caterpillar. You move into the cocoon. And finally, what comes out? Where'd those colors come from? Where'd those wings come from? Where did the ability to fly come from? Where did the ability to do what the caterpillar could not do? And yet God had the ability halfway through the life of this creature to completely change its form. And maybe that was because he knew that this would perfectly illustrate what you and I are told to do. So Paul begs and pleads and beseeches and asks us very kindly and gently, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When we think about what sin brings as far as God's having to punish us, and we see what the mercy of God did, sending his son to die for us, there's not too much God could ask us to do that we could really say, well, that's just too much. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and that's the Word in verse 14, who became flesh. So we're talking about a being that is so powerful that he could create the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, all the animals, all the plants, all of these insects, and then leave heaven, come to this earth, die for our sins. That is a big sacrifice, much bigger than anything we'll ever be called upon to do. So for us to say, I'm too busy to present my body a living sacrifice to God, is, I would think, very insulting to the Lord. We have a song in our songbook, I gave my life for you, what have you given to me? Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And guess what? That's the Greek word metamorphoseo. That's a word that has come directly into our language. It's what we use to describe what a caterpillar does when it goes to a butterfly, what a tadpole does when it goes into a frog, and really essentially what happens every spring as the trees go through a metamorphosis from being dead and lifeless to putting on flowers, to putting on leaves, and ultimately putting on fruit. And the same thing with all the things that are happening in this world. That's what God wants us to do. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to the test what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I know that nobody here really knows the Greek language, and it's not really important, except that by the ending on the word that Paul put here, or that the Holy Spirit put here, he turned it into a command. The imperative mode is a command. So this is a command. Do not be conformed and be transformed. But it's a really interesting command because it's in the passive, which means God's doing this to me because I'm passive, but I'm commanded to let him do it. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments, but I found that fascinating that these two words, conformed and transformed, are both commands, but they're in the passive because God wants us to understand, you're helping me, but I'm doing it. But without your help, I can't do it. And that's also true of a caterpillar. If a caterpillar does not eat, if a caterpillar does not do the things that are necessary, he can't go through that metamorphosis. God made it possible. But he has to do his part. Same thing with a tadpole. Same thing with the trees. It's in the imperative mode, but again, it's in the passive. So each one of us is in control. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. God's not going to do that for us. We have to do that. And if we don't do that, the process of metamorphosis will never happen, just like if a caterpillar never makes the cocoon, he will never turn into a butterfly. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You do not be conformed to this world. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, these are steps. Steps that a Christian must take if he is going or she is going to go through this process and come out the other side as a beautiful butterfly. This is our journey. God has made it possible, but we have to make it happen. And the efforts that we put forth will determine how quickly, how far, and how much we can accomplish in this life to bring ourselves back to the beauty of what God created in the Garden of Eden. A being in his image and after his likeness, with his love and his mercy and his compassion and his righteousness and his desire to be good to everyone and everything. We lost that. So how do we make this happen? Well, we have to make three conscious decisions and then stick to it. Number one, I presented my body's living sacrifice, which means from now on, whenever God says yes, I say yes. Whenever God says no, I say no, because I'm giving my body to him. If he says this is wrong, it's wrong. And if I do it, I need to repent and be sorrowful because I should not have done that. That's what giving my body. That's what Jesus did. The reason Jesus could be a sacrifice on the cross is because he never violated God's will. He was perfect. His will was not as important as God's will. He said that 4 or 5 times. I did not come down to do my will, but the will of my Father. And even in the garden, when he was absolutely opposed to going through with the entire process, he'd lived a perfect life. He had done everything necessary to bring himself to the point where he could be a sacrifice. And now he's looking at that sacrifice and he's saying, Father, it is not my will. let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. Fascinating. But he did it. So you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You stop being conformed to this world. Now that's a process in and of itself. How do I know what I'm conformed to, and how do I not know what I'm conformed to? How am I the caterpillar, and what do I have to do to be the butterfly? Well, by renewing your mind. That's the how. I've got to renew my mind. Renewing the mind simply means putting the right information in there so that I can do the right thing instead of doing what I've always done, which I learned from the world and which felt pretty good, but now I found out this is not my Father's will. And what I've been doing all these years has disappointed him, has angered him, has seen me as a selfish, cruel, unworthy human being because of what I treat other people, how I see other people. They exist for my pleasure. And that's what sin is. Sin is using someone for you and not using you to help them. That's the metamorphosis we have to go through. And the only way we can do it is to prove, which means put to the test. And so test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. That's probably the best advice we could ever have on how to go through this metamorphosis, how to go through this change where we are transformed into something far, far better. Now, it's got to be God's perfect and acceptable will. Now, let's look at the metamorphosis from another perspective. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory that he has to glory that we have. And so God is watching a process where we are an ungodly caterpillar and we are changing into a beautiful butterfly reflecting the glory of Jesus Christ. With unveiled face, we read the scriptures. God has opened the scriptures to our view. And as we read the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. Now again, this is passive. We are being transformed. This is something God is doing. But if I'm not looking, if I'm not reading the scriptures, if I'm not listening to sermons and trying to figure out whether this is something I need to do or not, I'm not going to be transformed. The power's there. The ability's there. The opportunity's there. But we have to do it. The Word of God reveals the will of God. The will of God changes me into the glory. So as we read and learn those scriptures, we're looking in a mirror and slowly are transformed into the same image. So we are controlling, I guess there should be another L in there, controlling our transformation by looking in the mirror. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, we are in his image. Well, we're not now, or at least we were not when we first became a Christian, but that's our transformation. And God determined back in eternity, he predestined this. Back before he ever created the heavens and the earth, when he knew he was going to have to send his son to die for our sins, he said, they're not going to have any means of knowing what they should be like, so I'm going to conform you so they can be conformed to you. Actually, he didn't have to conform him. Jesus was perfectly what Adam would have been. Matter of fact, the scriptures call him the second Adam. He was the Adam that Adam should have been and wasn't. And now, I don't want to be conformed to that Adam that has handed down the vain manner of life from father to son since the beginning. I want to be conformed. Interestingly enough, we have the same, instead of metamorphosis, this is sumorphosis, which means together with. So instead of simply transforming, I am transforming with Jesus or into Jesus. Now, the other verse that we can look at on this, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, that's going to stymie the metamorphosis. I'm reading, but I'm not a doer. I'm not changing. I'm not transforming. I'm still conforming. So I have to hear. Verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's our mirror, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does, and this one will go through that process. And I hope and I think that most of us can look back and say to ourselves, I have come a long way. I am not that person anymore. I am no longer conformed to what I was. But sadly, there's still a long way to go. So, how do we control that? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Are you doing that? When we get ready to sit down and watch a television program, are we seeking those things above? Assessing the show and telling ourselves, this show is an earthly show, this show is a worldly show, I'm not going to watch this. Conversations we have, friends that we have, activities we involve ourselves in, the job we have, anything that would hinder seeking those things which are above is going to stop that metamorphosis, and we will not fulfill the command. The command is to be transformed, and even though God's doing it, I have to do my part to make that happen. So verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth, for you died. Sound familiar? Bring your body as a living sacrifice. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, he will finish the process, and we will finally and completely appear with him in glory. But that's what we are preparing for. Because if he comes to change us into that glorious, beautiful thing that is far superior to a butterfly, as a matter of fact, it mirrors his own body, which we're going to see in Philippians chapter 3. We didn't finish that chapter, but that was the next verse. He's going to transform this lowly body to be conformed to his body. So he's going to finish the process, but I have to be ready. I have to be ready for that to happen. So I'm not going to conform anymore. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Now, these are pretty simple. Fornication is unlawful sexual activity. Any sexual activity outside of the marriage relationship of a man and a woman is fornication. Uncleanness, passion, and evil desire is everything up to that point. This is where you'd put pornography, this is where you would put dancing, and this is where you would put anything that creates lust and prepares for fornication. Then we have evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, and brethren, the wrath of God is going to come upon us if we still look like that when he comes back. Verse 7, you once walked when you lived in them. You were conformed to this. But now you yourselves are to put off. You are to start the process of metamorphosis. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed. There's that word renewal again. Renewed in knowledge, proving all things, testing all things, finding out the will of the Lord, and then fighting to remove it. Put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge. And here's that second point, according to the image of him who created him. Now we're back to Jesus. So the command, you be transformed, is really set forth here. Because this is, I don't know how close you are to this. This is not our natural state. Most people are not filled with tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Think about what that would do to your home. If you and your husband or wife were doing this, would you be metamorphosized? Would your home be a nicer place? Think of what this would do to the church. Think about what this will do in your neighborhood. Think about what this will do with all of the people who cross you or who do something that you don't like. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, here's the metamorphosis, tender mercy. I feel sorry for people. That should be our natural state. When somebody does something, when Jesus was mistreated, he felt sorry for the people who mistreated him. He had mercy. That's why he never responded in anger. He had tender mercy. He was kind. And you would think of anyone who wouldn't need to be humble, it'd be him. He's the greatest person that's ever walked the earth, and yet he was humble. Meek. I am meek and lowly. Long-suffering. This is the metamorphosis. When you see that butterfly on the other side, this is him. This is what God wants to see. This is what we are transforming into. We've left behind the conforming, that selfish, rude individual who gave into sin, who saw other people as, you just exist for my pleasure. If I want to commit fornication, if I want to steal, if I want to rob, if I want to murder, that's what you're for. That's not a Christian. How God made our metamorphosis possible. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And that's Jesus. We're being conformed to Jesus. The scriptures, by his divine power, we've been given the scriptures. That's why it's so sad today to hear people say, the scriptures are no longer pertinent. We live in a different world. You know, if you talk like that, you will never metamorphosize. You will always be conformed to this world because there's nothing to change you. We have to see the scriptures as God's divine power giving to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then in verse 4, we need to see those precious, exceedingly great and precious promises. Eternal life. A new heavens and a new earth. A city whose builder and maker is God. An eternal abode of joy where there's no sorrow, no trials, no tears. That's the promises. That through these, you may be partakers. That's the Greek word for fellowship, joint participation. I can be a partaker again in the divine nature. That's the metamorphosis. I am moving from a worldly person to one who reflects the divine nature. And if we have any of those things, selfishness, anger, bitterness, desires that are inappropriate and beneath us, we're not in the process. We're still being conformed. We want to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the caterpillar, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, to become that beautiful, transformed, and I'm not even going to use the word butterfly, to become that beautiful, transformed and conformed into the image. Now I look like Jesus. God sees Jesus more and more and more because I'm supposed to be conformed. That's what God predestined back in eternity. So how do we complete that metamorphosis? Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. That's a metamorphosis. And I've got to do my part. That's why he says, add to your faith. God can't do this for us. Well, let me rephrase that. God doesn't want to do this for us because he wants us to have something to feel good about when we die and we go before him. Lord, your 5 talents have gained these talents. So God says, I'm not going to do this for you. I want you to trade and make gain. I want you to do the work. I will metamorphosize you probably 50,000 to one. You do one thing and I'll do 50,000 things. You do one thing and I will metamorphosize you, but you have to do that. We have to add to our faith. Verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful. Verse 9, he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So this is just one piece of the puzzle. But it's telling me, if I'm trying to be conformed and I'm trying to be transformed and I'm proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and I'm proving all things and holding fast, these are the things I want to hold fast to. But he's not done. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. That Greek word sure is really an interesting word. It's like what we do when we put a fence post in. We dig a big hole, and then we put the post in there, and then we pour the concrete in there, and we wait for that concrete to set up, and that post isn't going to move. If you want to make your calling and election like that fence post, then add to your faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the metamorphosis. I am moving from this ungodly, wicked, corrupt, selfish, arrogant person into this humble, kind, compassionate, loving, merciful, gentle, meek, lowly, obedient, submissive person. And the process is in the scriptures. This is where I read to get transformed. This is where I read to learn the perfect will of God. This is what I prove all things by. And this is where I learn to add to my faith these seven things. And we could do the same thing with the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. Three chapters. At the end of the book, or at the end of the sermon, he said, if you hear these words of mine and do them, you're a wise man building your house on the rock, and your house will stand. If you hear these words of mine and you don't do them, you're like a fool. You're building your spiritual house on sand. And when the floods come, the judgment day comes, your house is going to fall. We could do the same thing with the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So we have a spiritual metamorphosis. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed to the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. From sons of darkness to sons of light. From children of wrath to children of God. What's the process? It's a process of stop being conformed and being transformed. And the scriptures are very clear. This is just such a wonderful lesson. And it is such wonderful information that we need to take to heart. So we're going to be transformed. Oops, looks like I have the same slide. So let's talk about the beginning of this metamorphosis. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. There will never be a metamorphosis until we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So once again, there will not be a metamorphosis until I repent of my sins and I recognize that they are beneath me, that these sins are not part of how God created me to be. I am to be a being of righteousness, which means treating people fairly, and love, which means going above and beyond to do what's in their best interests. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How strongly do you believe Jesus is the Christ? We all made that good confession before we were baptized, but have we kept it? Is he still your Lord? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's the next step in the metamorphosis, to believe and be baptized. Or as Peter said in the first gospel sermon, when they said, what should we do? He said, let every one of you repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins. And of course, lastly, and maybe among the most important things to stop being conformed, is to recognize sin and to confess it as sin and to tell God you're sorry and to feel bad that you did it. Sin's not something to be taken lightly. Sin is going to keep us from this beautiful process of the lowly caterpillar climbing up into the beautiful butterfly. So baptism is man's spring, man's opportunity to be transformed. We're buried with him in baptism. We're raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, there's the caterpillar. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. When does that happen? When you're buried with him in baptism. You die with him, you're buried with him, and you're raised with him, and you're made alive with him. So God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive again. If anyone is in Christ, and the only way to get in Christ is through baptism, he's a new creation. The metamorphosis has begun. I'm not a caterpillar anymore. I'm not dead in sin anymore. I'm no longer a wretched, ungodly person that God cannot help. Now, in Christ, I'm a new creation, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. We're no longer conformed to those things. New things are coming. All things have become new. And so this is our last slide. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. He sent it so that we could go through a metamorphosis. We trust him with all our heart. We do what he said. On the final day, we will see the beauty. We have a song in our songbook, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me. And that's what this metamorphosis is all about. And so, brethren, we pick up our song of encouragement this morning. Maybe something's been said in this lesson that has unsettled you or left you feeling like, I need to do more, or I need to do something. Maybe this is the day that you're going to be baptized and you're going to come and you're going to confess that Jesus is your Lord and you're going to start your journey, your process. Maybe this is a day where you have stopped the process, but now you're ready to repent and start it up again. Whatever we can do, if you'd like to confess your sins, if you'd like to be baptized and obey the gospel, we invite you to come and to think about that while we together stand and sing.